Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanzanio, host of the Jake and Gino podcast. Here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barber. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today, brother. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. We have a very special edition of the show today. Today, we're discussing the seven levels for creating a business. Now, we believe that multifamily entrepreneurship is a business, and you have to tend to that business, and that's how people become very successful in this sport. So today, we have the G-Daddy here to break down the seven levels for us. G-Papa Funk, let's get into it.
Yaki Boom Boom. This show has been a show in the making, I think, for me and you over the last 15 years. And for everybody listening, I want you to say to yourself, where are you in this part of the journey? I think everyone listening to this, whether you're a total beginner or you've scaled up and you want to continue to scale your operations, there's something in it for everybody. And at Jake and Gino, we like to say, hey, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. You may be in another business. This very eerily mirrors when you're creating a business, whether you have a restaurant like I did, or you want to buy real estate, or you want to start a franchise. I really feel that these, we call them the seven levels. There are seven different steps through the journey of,
they're, you know, inflection points almost. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Let's call them inflection points, Jake. That's the perfect word, because the first inflection point or the first part of your journey is the epiphany. It's the aha moment. It's the moment when you know in your bones that you need to do something, that you're stuck, you have a soul-sucking job, you have a small business like I did, you're working for a pharmaceutical company like Jake did. We all know there's something better for us. We all know we want to do something. And it may not be the first, our first choice may not be the right choice. For myself, it was, hey, I want to go into Gino's family and start building that out. For Jake, it's like, hey, I want to get into my sports equipment, start creating a sports machine, right? But the epiphany, the aha moment is like, I need to do something different. And for me, if I really have to be honest with myself, the epiphany came in 2008, 2009, around there, when the economy was going to crap. And I'm like, I've got one stream of revenue. That's my business. It's not really streaming right now. It's more like the beavers have like blocked it off, and there's no water running to down the river. And I remember sitting there and saying to myself, I need to do something else. I had failed in a couple other real estate ventures, and I said, hold time out. I'm better than this. I'm smarter than this. I've been working in this restaurant business for 15 years. I've created some type of success, but I want something different. And for me, reading that book, The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, that was my epiphany moment for myself. Now, I'm going to share with what I think Jake's epiphany moment was. And his story is always, it always resonates with me, because we have a mutual friend. His name is Dr. Neshi. And I don't want to put words in Jake's mouth, although I will at this point, because to me, that was his epiphany, at least getting into real estate with me. Because, you know, I can tell Jake how great multifamily is. I didn't have any success. I can tell Jake, hey, we're going to start a business and run it. But when you hear somebody else who you admire and who you've been working with for so many years tell you, then it's like, wow. And I remember always hearing that Dr. Neshi story. So, Jake, can you share your epiphany?
No, it's actually more similar to your story than you may realize, because I was on the chopping block in my mind, at least, at the pharmaceutical company. I came into a top three pharmaceutical manufacturing company out of college. Life was great. Then you had healthcare reform come into place, and it started becoming a bureaucratic government job, essentially. And I started to hate it. And, you know, I'm a very passionate, hardworking, hungry fellow, Gino, hungry fella. And ultimately, I just thought that, man, this personality no longer fits with this culture. And at some point, I'm going to say something they don't like, or I'm going to say, hey, we got to do this for more growth, and they're going to fire me. And I thought, we're going to go to one of these conferences, because they were flying you out a couple times a year for the annual sales conference or whatever. And I was just starting to become like that black sheep. I was the oddball out. I no longer fit into the new culture. I just wasn't a conformist to that point. So at the time, I was, you know, hanging out with Gino, his brother Marco, and I was, you know, basically doing lunches and promoting the pharmaceuticals I had to Dr. Neshi, as Gino said. And it was almost like the universe was pushing me towards real estate, because I was very hungry. And that's one of the things I fear the most, is that I was so hungry when I was younger. And I hope I never lose that, because I think that's one of the probably driving factors of my success. But I'm in there having lunch, you know, with Dr. Neshi, just absorbing the information, eager beaver. And he's telling me that, hey, Jake, if I was to give you any advice, it would be to go buy a duplex. And this is a guy that never sold out his business during all the, you know, kind of businesses. Basically what happened, I'll just break it down for you. Back in, I don't know, 2006 to 2010, all the small mom and pop doctors got bought up by medical groups. And this was the only guy left in my territory who didn't. And it was because he owned real estate. He had his autonomy. He was still practicing medicine because he wanted to. And so I had Gino, who was in my ear about real estate. I had Dr. Neshi. And all I knew that I needed to do something different because I was about to get fired, and it was a self-preservation move. So that's essentially how I got pushed into this multifamily game.
Jake, you said the word that's really... Yeah, the word that's really important that stuck out to me out of all of that, because I hear you every day, I hear you five times a day, and I love hearing you, bro. But for the listeners out there, the word that Jake said that really resonates with us, and I think with most of you out there, because we all think we're chasing money. We're not really chasing money. We're chasing autonomy. And I think money will allow you to get the autonomy. And the more autonomy you have, ultimately, the more money you make, which is just so counterintuitive. And that's just how life really is. So as you're listening to this, have you had an epiphany moment? Go back to it, because that epiphany moment will really lock you into your sole purpose, into why you're doing this. This is why I'm doing Jake and Gino, because it was really part of my epiphany. I wanted to give back. I got into coaching. I got into real estate. Ultimately, for giving back, and that was my epiphany. And every time I'm having a rough day, like today, trying to get this damn computer on and trying to get tech working, I go back to it and I try to say to myself, well, why are we doing this? My epiphany was I could be stuck in the restaurant right now washing dishes, or I can deal with the problems I have today and create that impact. So go back, everybody. What was your epiphany? And if you don't have one, you haven't had one, maybe you have to stop and think, well, my situation is this way. What do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? And that book, T. Harv Eker, was really huge for me. My next one, obviously the epiphanies kept coming for me. The fire at the restaurant. That fire at the restaurant changed my trajectory of my life forever, because it still took me another year to get serious about it. That pushed me into, okay, now it's time to take massive action. I can't wait anymore. Jake's moving down to Tennessee. Let's start working. And it still took us 18 months to find that next deal. But the second one, after the epiphany, all of a sudden, it's massive education. For me, after that 2008, I joined two mentorship groups, one in 2008, one in 2010. And I really started learning, because what had happened, the third step was massive action. I took massive action before massive education. I mean, you're either one of the others. You're the paralysis analysis by taking massive education, or you take massive action and you make a ton of mistakes. And then all of a sudden you lose the passion and the drive because you made so many damn mistakes. Once you have the epiphany, whatever you want to choose, whether it's crypto investing, whether it's going into multifamily, whether it's self-storage, take a time out and go out and educate the crap out of yourself. That's listening to podcasts, reading books. Ultimately, you're going to get to a point where you're going to say to yourself, there's a lot of knowledge here, but I need a framework. I need something where I can follow, I can dramatically shorten my learning curve, and I can follow people who have done it. For us at Jake and Gino, it's the buy right, manage right, finance right. Our students have closed over 70,000 units right now. They've done over $5 billion in transactions. For me, my two mentors were really instrumental in understanding the business. So when I met that guy on the other side, he was like, okay, I want to do multifamily. And I actually knew what a cap rate was. I knew how to actually rent an apartment. I knew how to talk to a broker.
I owned 100 apartments before I knew what a cap rate was.
I still don't know what a cap rate is, to be honest with you. I get different answers from different people. But yeah, the second step is that massive education. Because back in 2006, I met Maserati Mike, and Maserati Mike took $172,000 of my money, put it into a deal. I never saw that money again. Now, took a couple of years to get over that, but if I had taken that massive education before step number three of the massive action, I wouldn't have given Maserati Mike, my $172,000. I would have vetted the deal. I would have done the due diligence. I would have walked the property. I would have vetted him as a sponsor, as a partner. I wasn't able to do any of that because I didn't know. I was just so hungry to take action, and then that action failed. Thankfully, I had that epiphany in 08, 09 after I lost all that money. And I'm like, okay, dude, I'm done. I need to get educated. I got to stop wasting my time, you know, putting my toe in the water. I need to understand this business. And if it's any business that you're out there, whether, like I said, you're starting a restaurant, whether you're starting a gym, whatever that is, this is the point after you've had the aha, I got to jump in. And I need to spend money on my education. I really need to know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, the education journey for me was very much a blend. And I got lucky because Gino had paid for a bunch of mentors. I was a cheapskate and drafted off his success by getting educated. But ultimately, I moved to Knoxville, and Gino had gone through two different education companies. And we always say that education times action will equal your results. So the really cool part about it was I was boots on the ground. I was in the market. Gino had got that education. I was the action component of it in the market, and that ultimately led to our results. So for us, it's all about sharing our experience. We can't tell you what to do, but hopefully by sharing our experience, you can learn from that. So Gino had gotten educated. I was in the market. We came together to form a partnership. And over a five-year period, I would say from 2007 to 2012, I was still working for the pharmaceutical company. And in between my calls, sometimes I would have a half-hour drive. Sometimes I would have an hour-and-a-half drive in between the different stops. I've listened to literally thousands of audiobooks in the car. Maybe hundreds. Maybe not thousands. Maybe hundreds. But I listened to so many high-level educators sharing their stories. And I think the autobiographies were some of the best ones, like Steve Jobs. I loved Arnold's book, Atlas Shrugged. So many books that made a huge impact on my life that I had Gino educating me because he had the formal real estate education. I was listening to all these autobiographies from business leaders. But then there was the bootstrapping. There was the, hey, we're actually taking action and doing it in the day-to-day. So you learn that way as well. And the cool thing about it is as we were learning the multifamily business, we documented what we were doing. We documented our frameworks. Gino mentioned buy right, manage right, and finance right. That is everything for us. That is the framework for our multifamily business. And it's really that simple. I'm going to say it because it's not, multifamily is not rocket science. It's buying right, managing right, and financing right. If you have frameworks for those three levels of the business, I think you're going to be in pretty damn good shape. It's worked out well for us.
And Jake, that massive education, you're right. At that point, I was listening to Tony Robbins, Jim Rome, T. Harv Eker, Zig Ziglar. That's all I had on my car. At that time, there were CDs, bro. I was throwing the CDs in the car, and literally everywhere I went, yeah, I was just consuming it. I was just consuming all that positivity, all those positive messages that I'd never heard before. It was so foreign to me, but I'm like, this is really cool. And just listening to Zig Ziglar's drawl and listening to him and then actually being able to interview his son, Tom, a couple of years ago really brought me to tears because I remember driving in the car all those years and listening to Zig's voice and going, man, I want to be like that. I want to be as impactful as Zig. I want to do what Zig is doing. I want to show up to work every day and have a lot of fun. And for me, those were really formative years for myself. I would never want to take those years away. They were a struggle. They were painful. They were hard. They were lonely. But now that's what part of the journey is all about that massive education. And then the third one was the massive action.
Gino, hang on a second though. The weird thing is this is your new reality. You network with these guys now, and the same guys that you're listening to, you have them on your podcast now. So it's just, it's a different reality. And sometimes when you take a step back and realize, wow, with 10 years of, you know, real hard work by educating yourself, by putting in the work, guys, it's like they say, you know, it was when I was going through, I'll use an old pharmaceutical thing is like, you know, when people were afraid to speak to like the doctors, cause they were mean, they're saying, just remember, everyone puts their pants on one leg at a time. We're all equal out here. We all have the same opportunities if we put the work in. We're just trying to show you the framework that allowed us to achieve financial success. And by giving back and sharing it with you, this stuff is not foo-foo, woo, whatever you want to say, pie in the sky stuff. But it does take dedication. It does take responsibility on your end to make it happen. So sorry to interrupt you there, Gino.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from zero units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Yield Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from zero to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey. Multifamily.
That's okay. I think the next one, I don't want to really gloss over the massive action because I'll give you an example of what I was doing. You know, when Jake was down in Knoxville,
living by himself, waiting for his fiance, being lonely and just really roughing it out for the first few months.
Trying to find deals.
Yeah, I was at the restaurant. I'd wake up in the morning. I'd homeschool my kids for 30 minutes before I went to work. Got to work at 10 o'clock in the morning at the restaurant. Worked until 2 p.m. From 2 to 3 was my lunch hour. I would do real estate. Go home, get done from the restaurant between 8 and 10 p.m. Go home at 10 p.m., hopefully put the kids to bed. And then afterwards, I do a couple hours more of work. That was my life for the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months.
You're slacking now. We got to get you working again, boy. We got more to get out of you, huh?
My wife forgets those days. There were some wonderful days. But Jake, do you remember how much fun it was? It was a lot of work, but I remember being in the restaurant.
We were waking up. Our first book, you and I were waking up an hour early to write chapters of it and sharing the information with you before work. That's how we wrote Wheelbarrow Profits. I don't know if you remember that. For 6 months something, we were waking up, writing a chapter, you know, reviewing it. That's where that book came from, folks.
And I remember working in the kitchen. I would be cleaning chickens. My hands were all dirty. The phone would ring. I'd see Jake's name. I pick the phone up with chicken salmonella all over the phone.
Answer with your elbow.
But I was so excited at that point. And that's about massive action. Jake's like, hey, you got to underwrite a deal. Jake, no problem underwriting a deal. Even when we bought our first deal, I would have the bookkeeper. He'd be sending me up documents. It'd be 3 o'clock. Lunch is over. I got to get back to work. But I'm working both businesses. I'm working a side hustle. I mean, it was friggin' awesome. I loved it. But you can't skip that part. It's all about taking that massive action where all of a sudden you need to start diving into it. You need to start making calls with brokers. You need to start actually, you know, underwriting deals. You need to start making those relationships. Jake and I actually wrote the book because we wanted to become better investors. We wanted to understand it at a different level. And I think when you're out there, you're learning something and all of a sudden you're doing it. When you start teaching it, man, it brings your knowledge to a different level. And all of a sudden you become a much better investor. So that massive action is number three. But that hunger, Gino, before we move on.
That's what I get worried about sometimes because, dude, whatever it took, we were up an hour early to do this. We were so accommodating to each other, but also the people we were working with to make it happen. And you know, I just get fearful at times that because we're in a different place that we're going to miss that. And it's just something, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. Look, probably not the case, right? But it's just an awareness thing that I want to make, you know, keep it sharp. That's all.
So the third one was that massive action. Now, the fourth one, if you're buying a business, this is buying your first business. This is opening up your first restaurant, buying your first franchise. For us in the multifamily space, it's called the race to 80. I mean, you need to look at between 80 and 100 deals, depending on what part of the market cycle you're in. I mean, in the last couple of years, it's probably a little over 100. When we started, 80 deals you're looking at. And I don't mean simply just underwriting deals. Anything that comes across your desk. Hey, this looks good. This doesn't look good. I'm going to pass on it. You've got to put that work in. And for Jake and myself, when it's your first one, it usually takes you a lot longer because you're incompetent. You don't really understand the value. You don't know what you're looking at.
You don't have buying criteria.
Yeah. Jake and I were like, dude, any deal. You should have seen the first deal we bought. It was
cracked in after cracked in, boy. Oh, shit.
It was the ultimate fixer upper. Now, will we buy that deal today? Probably not. But we weren't picky when we started because we understood get that first deal, what we call on the conveyor belt, which is like this imaginary 5-year conveyor belt where you want to start stacking assets. It took us 18 months to stack that first asset because we didn't understand. We didn't have the buy right, manage right, finance right, but we were looking at it. And like Jake said, we're here to tell you that there is a buy right criteria. That's what we teach. We teach about focusing on what it is that you're trying to accomplish with your goals. Jake and I's goals were simple, and that's unfortunate. We just wanted to get 100 units. That's what our goal was. Anything in multifamily, and that's not a great criteria to have when you're starting out. You have to understand the experience.
You got
to
start somewhere, right, Gino?
Yeah, but Jake, that first deal was such an eye-opener for me because we had never done 25 units. That was our very first deal. I had done a fourplex, but that was eye-opening as far as, wow, now we have to start a website. Now we have to start taking application fees. Now we have to start, you know, turning units.
I'll never forget the first day we collected cash. I brought it home because they only paid in cash, the residents at the time, and I laid it all across the desk, and I texted Gino a picture of it, and it just reeked like Marb Reds. Like my whole house started smelling like cigarettes from it, but it was like, oh my God, people are paying me directly. I am getting paid as a business owner. And that was revolutionary for me. That really set my ass on fire. Yes. That was a whole nother inflection point. So
I love that. So, you know, that's number four, buying your first deal. I think the fifth step is momentum. All of a sudden, after our first deal, we were really fortunate. Or if this is how life works, I really truly believe this is how life works. 3 months later, Jake is sitting at a Ruby Tuesdays closing our second deal. We just bought 25 units.
And we always 30, you know, units. Messed that one up over a couple hundred bucks in negotiation.
Can you imagine that? And the prepaid rents and sitting there and Jake's trying to get drunk at Ruby Tuesdays. The guy's trying
I'm
to get him
drunk. I'm
not
trying to get drunk. The guy's trying to get me drunk to negotiate me down. It was the creepiest thing I've ever been a part of.
But let me ask you, Jake, when that deal happened, you're at 60 units. You're a pharmaceutical rep. What was going through your mind? You must have been like, what the hell is going on here?
It was a dream. It didn't seem like reality because I grew up on a dirt road in a small town in Western New York, literally like 15 minutes outside of a town of 1,800 people. And I didn't know any business owners. It didn't seem like a real thing that actual people did. Like, I didn't know anyone that actually owned a business. And so to me, that was foreign. It wasn't really possible. So when this started to happen, and then we had 25 units, and then we did 36 units. The third deal, we did 136 units. I knew that was February 14th. It was Valentine's Day, 2014. I knew in my heart of heart, my life was about to change after that deal closed. I was stuck in traffic. The deal closed. It closed by the skin of our teeth, whatever you want to say, right before five. We got it done. And I'm driving around Knoxville. There's bumper to bumper traffic, which was odd at the time because we never had much traffic back then. But it was, I think all the guys were out trying to find Valentine's Day gifts. And I was just sitting there. And it was literally, I usually get so pissed when I'm sitting in traffic, but I had such a feeling of euphoria and joy because I knew that at that point, financially, our lives were about to change and they forever did. And that was the one that set us free. So it was an amazing moment.
The only thing I remember closing our second deal was I have like 9 units up in New York. And I'm like, with this jabroni right here on the other side of the camera, I've got 60 units. Like, what just happened to my life? Like, I couldn't explain it. What? But then I look back and I'm like, okay, that massive education.
And this isn't syndicating. We're buying this shit ourselves, right? This
yes, spending with mentors. I mean, all that. I can't believe it's 60 units. And then all of a sudden, we're like, oh, wow. We have buy criteria. We're starting to manage these deals. And that Valentine's Day deal is February 14th. We had just gotten 2 feet of snow on the 13th. It was a Friday the 14th. I'll never forget that because our partner was going to the Bahamas and he had to wire his money that Friday to get the deal to close. We had just had 2 feet of snow. I had to go to the restaurant because the February 14th is a very busy holiday for us. We make our money in the wintertime on that holiday. I remember saying to myself, please, Mike, get your money in. And I remember getting the money in and closing that deal. And very similar, all of a sudden, holy crap, the sea started parting for us and we started getting more opportunities. All of a sudden, the brokers took us real seriously. Our partner was like, wow, now we've got a great asset here. Let's continue to look. Because people were like, well, how did you continue to scale? We weren't even thinking of scaling at the time. We knew that if we provided enough value for our partner and for the brokers and for people that are selling deals, the deals would come to us. And that's what ultimately ended up happening. Right after that 136 units, which is our third deal, we went back and bought a 22-unit deal, which I would probably say is 21 of our best deals.
24 units.
And Park North, one of our best deals ever, Jake. Wouldn't you say? I mean, like, from a price standpoint.
And another one we almost lost over a broken window.
Jake's sometimes a hard head. And I'm like, Jake, it was literally $500 worth of broken glass, but it was a different part of the market cycle.
A very different part of the market cycle. Yes.
But I remember the 22 units. So if you're out there and you're starting to scale and you're getting momentum, all of a sudden you've got a couple of deals. Keep the momentum going. And it really comes down to broker relationships. It comes down to getting your buy right criteria nailed down. And all of a sudden now it's managing these assets, learning how to manage these assets. And we were vertically integrated from the very beginning. So we managed our own assets. And, you know, for us at Jake and Gino, we teach all about managing right. We teach all about asset management, creating the cadence of accountability. And in this next step, this sixth inflection point.
Hang on. Let's talk about the fifth deal just because I'm having fun with this. So we did the 25, we did the 36, we did the 136. Then we scaled back down in deal four. We did the 24 unit. Now all of a sudden we're at like 200 units. And where the hell did these idiots come from, right? And we're actually making money. Our profit per unit is really good. Then all of a sudden, a 281-unit deal comes our way. This is no bullshit. We couldn't make the deal work based on the number he was asking for. So we proposed owner financing to get the deal done. Our fifth deal, we did 281 units, fully owner financed. and we got about $75,000 back from prepaid rents at the closing table. The title lady said she's never seen anything like this in all her life. We got basically 300 units, and we were given the keys and paid $75,000 to take the deal over. To this day, it is probably the best deal that we've ever done, and it's made us millions of dollars. And I still can't believe the first five deals that we did. A lot of issues across the board physically with things that we fixed, but how good those deals were, in a short period of time. What was it, 3 years, if that?
Yes. And I'll give the exact numbers.
It was I don't know.
February of 2015 when this 281 unit deal comes, because I was up in New York. I was actually in pottery class with my kids. Jake texted me. I remember this vividly, like yesterday. And Jake's like, we got 281 units. The price is $12.6 million. I almost crapped in my pants. I'm like, where am I going to get $12.6 million from? That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, dude, are you smoking some crack down in Tennessee or taking some of those opioid pills or some of that shit? I don't know what you're doing
I was getting from unit 321. They had the meth going, all right?
I don't know. It felt like that. But then, you know what? We stopped. We sat there for a second. And we're like, you know what? We can't do it at 12.6. And this mom and pop had tried to sell it to his brother. He couldn't sell it to his brother. He had to take it back. He had sisters working on the property. I don't think they were collecting all the money. I'm not going to make any inferences.
All I'm going to say is the leasing agents were driving around 5 Series BMWs at the time.
That's it. And like every other person on the lease was actually an uncle or a cousin. People weren't paying. But the real gist of it is we used the spy technique. It's all about listening to the other side. We knew his pain point. We knew where he was coming from. So we said, hey, we can't make this work at $12.6 million. What do you propose? He proposed $11 million seller financing. We're like, bro, bring it. And then all of a sudden, 80% bank, he would carry the 20% of the note. And most people say, well, that really can't happen. That can't work. Well, let me tell you, it worked. And not only that, I remember him getting cash at closing. We actually told our banker, hey, Mike, this guy's got some cash to put in the bank. And I remember at that point, that was the biggest cash deposit that our community bank had ever gotten was from this seller. So talk about creating win-wins and talking about creating like a lot of juju. But that deal changed our lives forever. It was the third deal that really changed us. But this sixth deal that we had with 281 units,
started
all
seller
financing, it was $140,000 a month in revenue when we took over. Month one, we knocked it up to 170. And then after about 12 months, we were able to refinance out his seller
finance. One of the deals now is doing more in revenue per month, right?
Than the entire thing.
Because it was 100, it was the 281 units was 132 and 149 units. The 149 is doing more than the deal in totality did at the time we took over right now.
And it's really a testament to the manage right, but it's also a testament to us not selling. We could have sold these assets, but we love the assets because they fit our buy right criteria.
8 years later, half of that portfolio that we bought is doing more than the entire income when we bought it.
And Jake, the thing is, yeah, it's in a great market, great median income, great vintage. It really checked our box. And that's why for us, really that epiphany of like, we want to hold these things long term. But the next one, Jake, the sixth one, it's really starting to hire. And that probably could have come up a little bit sooner. But as you're starting to actually, wow, I need not only property managers, maintenance techs, regional managers. I mean, we've hired a COO. On the education side, well, we have people who are doing student success, business advisors. We have operations managers. I mean, we even have editors. We're editing our own podcast. So at that point, you have to figure out.
If you wonder why the quality of our first, I don't know how many podcasts was so bad, you're looking at them. All right. Bootstrap the hell out of everything. I don't think I saw my wife from like 2012 to 2019. But anyways.
Should we have bootstrapped?
Why we're still together.
Should we have gotten somebody sooner? I mean, that's the whole thing. Give me some tips.
Hindsight's 2020, right?
Yeah. So, well, give me some tips on starting to hire and what we did wrong. What actually your
biggest really and truthfully, the biggest mistake we made was we waited too long to hire. We waited too long to implement healthcare. We waited too long to raise our pay rates. All that stuff. We got here. We're here now. We've corrected that stuff, but we didn't know any better. We didn't have proper budgets in place, and that was all part of scaling. And that's why on that fifth deal, the gentleman Jim Clayton who financed the deal, basically said that, hey, love your guys' hunger, love your guys' hustle. But, and he didn't say hustle, I mean, a little bit older, but, you know, basically that was what was conveyed to me. But we needed to start systematizing better, and we needed to start scaling better. So I would say from 2015 till, I don't know, in the last few years, we've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on systems coaching, scaling our business, because that's what it's all about. And I think so many people go from the solopreneur to either failure, or they stay stuck in that solopreneur position and they're never able to scale because they don't realize the importance of systems, scale, and building a team. That's where ultimately you either become a real entrepreneur or you fail, or you become like the one-off guy that has a decent life but does everything.
I love that. We had Ken Clothier on the podcast around a year and a half ago, and he said it best. He said, when you get up, and this for us, when you get up to 200 units, you have to leave the person you were when you first started the journey. You have to understand that to continue to scale, you have to grow into a different iteration of yourself. And this is the inflection point right now. All of a sudden, you're saying to yourself, I need to leave the I'm a mentality. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to edit
the podcast. I was cutting the grass, by the way. We had an orange lawnmower, and that was some dumbass shit. All right. That was the worst use of my time. I thought because I could do it and I enjoyed it and I did it as a kid that I should do it in the business. Big mistake, fellas.
Just keep the chainsaws away from Jake and you'll be okay. Chainsaws and lawnmowers, you're talking about like a lot.
I start losing myself. I enjoyed that stuff. I for real do. So it's like, it's easy for me to pick it up and just start doing it, right? I was literally, okay, so little quick story here. We have a apartment complex next to an Amazon fulfillment center that just opened. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the guys did not clear a path to it. So I said, you know what? I'm getting back out there. So last week, took the chainsaw out, cut down some trees, and we cut this beautiful archway to the fence. That, because literally, we're touching the Amazon. Our apartment complex touches the Amazon Center. So we cut this beautiful archway out of the tree line, and we're having a gate installed so the folks that live at our apartment complex can walk to Amazon next door. Otherwise, it's like a fucking 10-minute drive, and we touch the property. So we had to make that happen, and I enjoyed it. So still getting back at it every once in a while, Gino.
So starting hiring, I think the three words in this phase.
Start hiring. Wait, am I like contradicting myself right now? I mean, you should have hired the tree company to cut the beautiful arch.
But if you enjoy it, but listen, if you enjoy it, and it's also, you didn't mention to say it's really a culture builder. You're out there with the maintenance guys, you're building culture, you're out there having fun, you're showing yourself as a leader. Exactly. But there's three words in this phase right now, in this inflection point. It's people, it's systems, and it's culture. You have to start building upon those three right now. And the seventh inflection point is the scale. And for me, it's all about multifaceted and multifamily, but it's also in this inflection point, you have to start building your core values. You have to start building your mission statement. And for us, reading Small Giants really gave us clarity to say, this is what we want to do. We want to go PPU. We don't want to scale the portfolio. We want to work on profit per unit. We don't care if we have 5,000 units. We are happy with around 2,000 right now, where we're focusing on profit per unit. That's for us.
But it's also, there's growth there too, Gino, because I think one of the big key takeaways is that you want a good growth, good controlled growth, which is amazing growth. It's 20% of top line revenue per year. That's what we're looking to do. We're looking to grow our top line revenue by 20% year over year. Man, reverse engineer that. Look at that 10 years from now and see what that'll do for your business if you're already in the game. It is life-changing. So
Jake, in this part, I would say to everybody, if you don't have core values, ours are people first, make it happen, extreme ownership, unwavering ethics, and growth mindset. Those are our core values.
You see that? And you see how quickly Gino recalls this stuff? He's just got the elephant brain, man. He's just machine gun Kelly out there. It's beautiful.
Every Monday, we go over them on our weekly huddle, right? That's part of it, right? In this part of the phase, right? In this part of the inflection, you need to create what a cadence of accountability is. You need to have those weekly huddles, daily huddles, quarterly plannings. We can go through, we can have a whole podcast on that. But right now, you're starting to build the business. You're starting to build systems and processes. And all of a sudden, the scaling up and the EOS and traction, everything's starting to take place now because you know you can't do everything on yourself. And no matter how much you work, you're going to get inundated. You're going to become a mom and pop. So start thinking about what your core values are. Start thinking about what your mission statement is. For us, our BHAG, for the Jake and Gino, our big, hairy, audacious goal is to have 1,000 students leave their jobs by the year 2030 and go into multifamily full time. Right now, we're at 107 students. So you're starting to create these things. And it's really about impact. It's really about the vision of what you want your properties, what you want your portfolio, what you want your business to look like. And it's really important now to start building that foundation, because I am speaking from personal experience. I owned one restaurant for over 20 years. one restaurant. How is it that I went with this jabroni in 5 years to over 1,500 apartment units? It's because of this inflection point right now where we said to ourselves, let's build a strong foundation. And from having that strong foundation, all of a sudden you can start building your skyscraper. But if you don't have core values, if you don't have a mission statement, if you don't have a vivid vision, as Cameron Harrell likes to say, another guest on Jake and Gino that I think you should go check out. If you don't have your mission statement, all that built out, you're going to start building and that foundation is wobbly. And guess what? Your building's going to crumble. If I had that one restaurant and I decided to open a second or a third, I can guarantee you that I would either be working 150 hours, I'd be divorced, I'd never see my kids, or I would lose the business, and then I'd say, well, why did I lose the business? It's because I didn't have a strong foundation.
100%. And gang, the great thing is we've taken all this systems training, and we've put it into our Jake and Gino community. We have it all in our online course. And, you know, that's what it's all about. The Jake and Gino community is amazing. It's created so many multifamily entrepreneurs. So check us out. If you want to join us, if you want to get on board with the Jake and Gino community and the billions of dollars of transactions that the community has done, check us out, jakeandgino.com. Take a call with our team. It's free, and you can see if you're a good fit. Gino, what you got?
I just wanted to say, go back and listen to this again. If you're struggling at any point, if you
don't
have...
He said, one is not enough, folks. You better hear it again.
You know why? Because I wish I had heard something like this before, because I was struggling with the restaurant. I wish I could say to myself, well, why was I doing this? Why do I get into multifamily? Why do I want to start another business? And then where are you? Are you starting trying to scale up? Are you starting to take education right now? Are you taking action? I think there's little nuggets throughout that you can say to yourself, I'm here right now. I need help right now, or what's my next steps? Start that framework. Start from the epiphany to where you want to get to and start thinking about the end. What does your end life look like? And let's start reverse engineering that back to where you are today and start building your systems and your processes and your business today.
Gino, 100%, but we are 1 minute late for our 11:15, so I'm cutting this off. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He is the G-Daddy.